Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have TalkCast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Also, just a reminder that we do co-broadcast over at twitch.tv, and I am very studious and keep an eye on the chat room over there. So if you want to watch me live on video, go over to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. Moving onward, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Things like questions or topics that you want me to cover or things that you'd like to discuss, you know, and come online and you'll then join me. You know, we can work out details if you don't have the normal connectivity, you know, whether that's talking through TalkShoe or other means, we can discuss it. And if you need to contact me on Twitter, of course, they have my account there is SFUOnCall. That's SFUONCALL. I also have my personal account, which is Paul Franz. Obviously, as a warning, as I always do, which is I'm very proud of being an Orioles fan, Catholic, and I love tech. So if you don't like any of those, or one of those things makes you a little squeamish, then I suggest you don't follow me there and just follow SFUOnCall because you'll get to see when the latest topics are for the week. Then also I post up a link to the YouTube video that I also record and post up. This quick news from ADB this week. They have a kind of a pre-release of sorts, which is the Tholian Master Starship book. It's in PDF only. They don't have the paper copy available yet, but that is currently available at Warriors 23, Drive-Thru RPG, and War Game Vault. Now, they also just released Gorn, the Gorn Master Starship book that's available in paper form and also in ebook form, and obviously in the same e-tailers. And, of course, coming very soon, I'm assuming that's going to be next week. Yeah, next week because it's going to be the first week of the month. I'm trying to get this straight. Which is on Shapeways. There's going to be the Klingon B9 Fast Battleship. So you'll be to enjoy one new beautiful mini from ADB. Moving onward and forward when it comes to the SLB Online Tournament. I wanted to check on it, but unfortunately, the Starfleet Games website is currently down, so I was unable to check to see what was the results of the game, because it was supposed to play this week. I don't know if they got to play it, but it got delayed or what. So I will put off the announcement on the final for the winner of that tournament until next week, and I apologize for, well, nothing I can do about it. The website is down. I did not expect that to happen. Moving onward and forward when it comes to the FedCom library, still no progress, I'm sorry to say. The squadron ships are still at 377, and the fleet-size ships are 278. Also, one thing I forgot to mention, which is client updates. I have at least two client updates, two bug fixes that I'm hoping to release probably this weekend. Also, there's an enhancement, which is the ability to, what's going to happen is when you bring up the targeting, you know, for multiple ships, well, one thing you have is you have the target column for that weapon. If the number of targets is greater than 10, it's going to change from being a drop down to being a button that you click on the button, and then it's going to bring up a list of all the targets, and then you could do a search through the list to find the ship or unit that you wish to target. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, is the one and only Paul Friends welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got just me. Actually, I was talking to Barry this little while ago, and I apologized for the Twitch streamers. Those people who log into that and been waiting and waiting and waiting for me. I apologize. I'm sorry. That what happened was that I got sidetracked by talking to Barry. We were talking about the voting. We didn't talk about politics. We talked about voting. So, you know, it was interesting. So I figured you guys didn't want to listen to all that stuff. And so I didn't start recording until we were done. All that stuff. And Barry got woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning because he lost power because he was down in Atlanta. And, the vestiges of Hurricane Zeta came running through the neighborhood, so they lost power. So I just told him, go to bed early. Because, as he said, oh, I only stay on for an hour and then I have to get some sleep. It's like, dude, go to sleep now. I'm sure you're exhausted at this point. Jeez. But, and also, I figured he wouldn't want to stick around for the finishing the final and completion of the analysis of my round two game on Sapphire Star 6 tournament. Again, I apologize for those of you. I apologize to you that I was unable to announce the finalists and who won for the Sapphire Star 6 tournament because of A to B. And they lost, quote unquote, power. The website went down and all this kind of fun stuff. Still not up. It's been down for at least 7 hours, which I would be highly concerned because that's a lot of revenue which is going down the tubes. But hopefully everything will be fine in the near future. So, in the meantime, let me switch over to the VLC to continue on from where we left off. Hey, how you doing, Iggy? Iggy's on Twitch for those of you who don't actually log in. But, you can either log in to the TalkShoe, or I would definitely recommend going over to Twitch because I actually do a broadcast on Twitch. It's co-broadcast. So TalkShoe, you can listen if you actually want to watch my lovely face and a screencast. Because most of it is screencast. I need to see if I can do something a little better when it comes to the video, doing some switching back and forth, and so forth. So maybe improve the quality of the video product just a tiny bit, so that probably requires me to play around with the OBS a little bit, see can I do transitions? What can I do? I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff you can do. Okay, Russ lives here now too. Awesome. And I'm hoping when Dave comes back, because I know he's currently very, very busy at work, that he will also join us over on Twitch. Now, of course, here's the issue I have with you, my dear friends. And that is that it is possible at some point in time, I might just go chuck TalkShoe. At the moment, even if I don't use it for the primary chat and talking to people, I think I'm probably going to keep it around for the very least for the audio conferencing feature. At the moment, it seems to be working well now that I'm doing it through the browser instead of going through Skype. And also, I made sure that I am hardwired, so that will hopefully keep the bandwidth usage more consistent, and so that we won't have the issues that we've had sometimes in the past where drop-offs, cut-offs, freezes, all this kind of crazy stuff. And also a reminder for those of you on Twitch and listening on the podcast, which is that I also post this videocast. I post it to YouTube every single week. So, you know, you can either go to the SFU On Call website. The link for the YouTube episode will be posted as part of the link to the that podcast entry. So you can see that the different episodes, and it's on that website. Also, you can follow, if you're following SFU On Call on Twitter, you'll see it there too. So by all means, you can watch the video, listen to my voice if you want to, do what the in kids do these days, which is put on the video, use it as background noise, you know. I don't care if you consider me background noise, you know, hey, just maybe just like listen to my wonderful voice. to me, it's me, you know. But okay, moving onward and forward. Okay. We're at the end of turn four. This is where things get really, really tight. Let's continue on here. Can you play with this? As you can see, that I already, looking at how much energy I have in my panels, which is a lot more than I really want to have. Looking at discharging energy as much as possible. And let me do this. It's the playback. Let's just slow that down a little bit. Just because of, here's, you can see that I'm doing a full, this, I know, oops, let me look at this. And that is, you know, I do a quick speed, and then I cut it in half to 15. So I want to quickly move through now. The whole idea here was to, as I mentioned last week, I realized, when I turned, that was a bad move because of, I wanted to release some of the energy from the front panels and then also the big thing there was I wanted to release energy from the front panels, extend my lead because my range is only 16. I want to extend my range so that I can do that, put some energy into my batteries from my panels and still have, if he wants to, he can fire me, but he's going to have to take a long shot. So he's going pretty fast. Speed 24, I'm going speed 30. Okay, we're all ready. I'm going to increase this playback just a tiny bit so that you can see things moving on at a decent rate. So see me, I'm doing my best to stay away from him, and this is why I wanted to turn. I realized it was a mistake because I wanted to get the range. As you see, the range it changed down to 10. It was 9 and then 10. So I really wanted to actually get it all the way out to 7 to range 16. Well, that did not happen. I'm doing this. I slow down at this point. Okay, and I do that. Now it's my speed change down to 15. The whole idea was I wanted to slow it down so I could be more maneuverable. Because at this point, I don't have to worry about drones because his drones are depleted. His drone rack is dead. You know, more to the point. Right, and sure. I'm not sure what I'm doing at the moment, to be honest. I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. I was trying to figure out. Now, I was trying to figure out if I could turn or what to do. I know what I finally do. Right, so I dropped the panels from reinforced down to standard. Now, of course, the problem with that at this moment is that he can actually fire at me. Right, 4 to rear, 10 to the batteries. Right, energy release was 14 points. So the whole idea is to get energy out of those front panels. Now, that leaves still a lot of energy in the rear panels, which could be problematic. And problematic is what will face me in just a bit of time. As you see, call for fire. Yes, he spelled it wrong. But, and yeah, I'm off his shield number 1. So I've fired 2 phasers. So 2s. And I missed. He missed and I missed at range 11. So it's like, whew, he missed. Crap. I missed because I'm on the shield number 1. Off his shield number 1, I could actually do some internals. I could actually destroy a photon. This is when my luck didn't actually hold up. It would have been great if my luck would have held up. And then I turned here. And again. He fires 4 phaser 1s at me, and he actually hits for 3. Now, to me, 3 is a beautiful, beautiful number because of with it. Yes, I get only two internals and 1 point of energy is released. Actually, no, it's not released. Actually, it is released. Yeah, this is what I did. And okay, he turns away because of he's afraid that I'm gonna fire my phasers at him, probably. Sorry about that. He goes down to speed 12, in which I should have realized he couldn't keep up that speed for the entire turn. Because this is his off turn. His off turn, he needs the power that he's using, he needs that power to recharge his phasers, recharge his weapons. So he needs to slow down. Right, we went pretty fast here to finally get around so that he could move to this is where he starts launching shuttle after shuttle after shuttle. And we're getting close to the end of this turn. This is where he launches all 4 shuttles. He's launching them. He turned away from me. He's in the center of the board with his, currently his shield number 3 facing me. As I come around, I'm down in the corner, the bottom left-hand corner. So I've turned around, and now I'm facing my front panels are facing him. And fortunately, up to this point, I've been lucky when it comes to the internal. So he has not actually destroyed any of my TR beams. Now, this is where things get difficult. But, you know, I'm still moving speed 15. Our range is currently 15. He turned down, so he's coming straight down. So I'm coming up the left-hand side of the map. I'm like, what is it? 8 hexes outside of the corner. And he's near close to the center of the board. So I'm off his shield number 2. And then he two of his shuttles fired me for 1 point of damage. Unfortunately, it forces me to change my panels from standard to reinforced levels. Because that means at the start of the turn, I am required, because it's on pulse 32, I must spend all 8 points of energy for reinforced. Now, the good part about that, right now I'm doing my panel stuff, which is not so good, because I need to get my front panels they're pretty beat up at this point. They've got 22 points of degradation. The rear panels are better, but they have a lot more energy to them. So between the two, the amount of the fronts can take a little more damage than the rears, but not by much. So that part, not so bad. Now, this is where we save the game. And let's go to side 2, or part 2 of the video. So give me a sec here. Let me open file. And there it is. There it is, part 2. Okay. So let's bring this up, and please don't play, because I want to expand this just a little bit, make it a little bit easier to read. And I don't see anyone over here. Nope. As it comes to talk to you, I'm not sure if people show up anymore unless they actually chat. The only reason I said it, because last week I noticed that there was 3 people in the inside. It's like, wait a minute, there was me and there's 2 other people? No, weird. I run it because right now I've got 3 people in my room, which I know one of them is me. And we got 2 other people. We got Iggy and we got Mad Cow, which is Russ. Hi, Mars. So let's continue on. This is where let me slow this down, the playback, just a bit. Just because I know what I'm going to do, which is I'm going to be doing my energy allocation on this. Yep. And so that's why I wanted to slow this down a bit. Because I've got the problem is right now is he's got his good shield facing me, his shield number 2 and 3. Now, I'm figuring on, this is what I'm thinking at this moment in time. Let me just pause this for a moment. At this moment in time, my thought processes say he's just launched shuttles. That tells me that he wants to keep them nice and close. That's one possibility. The other possibility, which I thought of, which is I thought was less likely, which is basically he launched them. The whole idea is that he wants me to have to go riding through them or get close to them at the very least, so he can do a lot more damage. But I figured slow, nice and slow, you know, maybe speed 6. So, you know, that he's not going very fast. And I'm planning according to that thought. Now, I'm not going to tell you what happens. I know what happens. Okay, this is just, don't mind me. This is me. I went to the law because this a reminder for those of you who use Decline to play SFB Online. There's a log for each game, for each chat room that you enter. That log is kept locally on your machine. I don't log anything on the server. So whatever happens on the server, you know, it doesn't see. It's just, for those of you who know a little bit about networking, basically it's a router is what it is. Though it's a lot less a router these days because it also maintain state of the game at this point. Previously, when it was written, it was purely SFB Online was peer to peer, and what happened was that the players with them would sync up, which is also bandwidth wise is heavy, because what would happen is someone would enter the room and then each player would then have to send their ships, their information about the game. And so it would, you get these big spikes of the each and every player had to send all their ships. So large fleet battles, this really hurt, you know, which is why I knew I had to change it, especially for FNE, because of need to maintain the state of the board on the server, so that the only person who gets those details, who needs to know those details, is when the person actually enters the room. Therefore, the server can just send the details instead of requesting it from all of the clients. So it's that. Previously, it was a pure router, and now it's more a state maintenance machine. It has the master copy of the game is in memory, but as soon as the game's over, it's wiped, so it doesn't get saved. I thought about an idea of actually saving on the server, but there's issues that is something I probably will do at some point, especially if I get around to all the work that needs to be done for a web-based version of the client. And as I've mentioned, I'm not sure if I mentioned before when I talked about it, but one thing for that, I want to first create a minimum product. What is the minimum functionality that's required? Not all the doodads, all the wonderful features that the client has, remove them all. Go down to basics. You need to, certain things need to be done. You need an EA, you need a DAC, you need an SSD, you need an impulse chart, and you need a board. Things like chat room, not exactly required. You can actually communicate via another source if you need to. Obviously, currently that's all built into the server. It might become a requirement. I'm hoping to get some, when I get to that point where I've implemented those initial rules, those initial things that are what I consider minimum needed for a minimum viable product, that I can get some play testers in to beta testers just to try it out and say, okay, you know, you can use like Discord, or you can use I don't know, some other chat client that you want. You can use Skype if you want to do everything, you know, and all the rest of the stuff is not recorded, you know. Yeah, well, you see the actions, but that's probably will still have to happen where, you know, you announce things and so forth. Actually, in that case, you don't really need to announce things, because you can treat it as a tabletop game where whatever mechanism you use for communicating with, you use that. You know, it's more of, less of a game platform and more of a tabletop platform. But anyhow, moving onward. Sorry, I got to taste those bunny rabbits. But I was just here because what I forgot because it had been like a week since we played. So what I did was I went back to the log file and I wanted to find out, when did the shuttles get launched? That would tell me, actually, shuttles getting launched, I think it was, I think it was when it comes to his turn, speeds, the change of speeds. I think, yeah, that's what I was looking for. Oh, sorry. It was my own. I'm just looking at it going, yeah. When did I increase to reinforced levels? I think it was. So I needed to know when I could flick the switch. That's what it was. I needed to find out what was my current level. Was it reinforced or was it standard? In theory, I should have been able to look at the panel management. That should tell me whether I'm reinforced or standard level at that point. And I'm just now thinking of that. I could have done that. So. I'm still thinking. King Zilla says he's finished his energy allocation. So then he has to wait for me. Because he knows exactly what he's planning on doing, and I have no clue what I'm planning on doing. I know what I want to do, and here's the one thing I realize. And that is, no matter what, I figure I need to go pretty fast because I want to try to get around to the, I know this. Okay, let me just pause it for a moment. I know in my heart of hearts that this is my last shot. If you look at my damage on my, I got 22 points of a degradation in my front panels. That means if I have all six panels at 60 minus 22, that's 38. If I have nothing in my panels, nothing, I can absorb 38 points of damage. If his photons, even with 50%, hit that, I'm in trouble just because of I'm getting to the point where I can no longer stop. He's gonna easily gonna be able to go through my. I'm gonna have so much degradation on my front panels that it ain't gonna be worth it. I'm gonna say, please hit my rear panels. Please hit my rear panels, because at least with my rear panels, my degradation is very limited. Then I can, if given the amount of time, I can actually get the energy out of my rear panels. So it's like, what the heck, man? So that's why I know I needed to get to the shield away from this one and get on the shield number one or shield number six. So it was going to require me probably to hopefully pull off what I did two turns earlier, where I came on approach. I'm coming down the shield number two. I displaced, I get on the shield number six, so then I can get on his down shield. So I figured that is the way only way I'm gonna be able to do that. I gotta look. I'm pretty. Right, and I got very little power in my capacitor, which is another reason why I couldn't fire an additional phaser too, is because I didn't have the power. Actually, in theory, I could have. Okay, now this was a shocker. And what does he do? He doesn't go at speed 6. He goes speed 0. This flips me out. It freaks me out. Because I'm thinking about it and going, okay, now that's impossible. It's really, if he stays, if he star castles the whole freaking time, I have no reason, to come in closer to him. I have no reason. Because of, I have no way, I have no ability to actually hit his down shield. I can't go against him again. Hit his shield number 2, because he knows he's going to be reinforced. Hit his shield number 2. He can, I might, if I'm lucky, if I'm freaking just amazingly lucky, I might get 3 or 4 internals. But at that point, I'm going to be so degraded in my panels, I'm going to have no chance of winning. You know, so it's like, okay, I'm trying to figure out a plan where I can, this is where time, if I, the only way I could actually come in is if I can get the timing right. Timing so that he has to attack and attack again. So he has to use a warp and an impulse attack within a certain period of time. And then at that point, I should be able to displace to the proper location, come in closer, and have it so that the only way he can protect himself is het. And I want, that's what I want him to do. I want him to het. Because if I can get him to het, he has a 1/3 chance of dying. And I'm praying for that 1/3 chance that he will do that and he will die. So I'm going to speed 28. So I'm going zoom, zoom. And this is when I go, okay. I consider, you know, should I come in? And I realized, no, he's going speed 0. I'm not going to come into him. I'm going to run around the board, charge everything up, you know, get things out of the batteries as much as possible, and look for an opportunity to actually come in and attack. So I originally go, oh, you know, I'm gonna come in. So I start coming in on him, and sideslip because I'm trying to get around to the other side here, and I keep coming in. Now this is where I'm at the point of, okay, I'm range 9. If I come into range 8, I need to attack. I have no choice. So this is where I pause and go, do I really want to do this? Do I want to come in and attack him? Because right now I'm thinking about getting to, maybe, just maybe, he won't attack. Maybe he didn't allocate for attack. And I can get, if I can just get to his rear shield, I've got a chance. I have got a chance of hitting an unreinforced shield, possibly even just at range 8. So I'm thinking this all the way through and going, okay, what do I want to do? Do I actually want to come in? Or do I want to turn away? Because this is the point of decision. There is no choice in the matter. I have to decide this at this juncture. This is the decision point. Let me see if I can speed this up just a tiny bit because I don't want to ramble on so much. Okay, I'm thinking. Let's speed up all the way. Okay, I'm thinking some more. Oops. Yeah. He says, let's take your time. We're here. Yeah, because he's got the slight edge. And it's like, don't. We're still waiting for my final decision. Okay, let's pause. So I make my decision. I turn away. Now, I'm at range 9, so there's no way he can fire his overload photon. So even if he turns, he can't get me. So, and even if he fires the phaser ones are not that effective from 9 to 15. Now, I slowed down to speed 15 because of the whole idea was that he was going to come slowly, but then he stopped, which means he has a heck of a lot more maneuverable. Now, dummy me, and I'll agree, I was an idiot in that I did not think that he was going to go with speed 0. I should have thought about that because of that actually makes more sense than going at a slow speed. Now, at this point, I've gotten halfway up the board. I'm definitely at this point, I was on his rear shield. He changes facing from direction D to direction E. So now I'm back in his FA arc at the moment. My range is still range 9. For his shuttles, I'm range 6. Okay, and now the shuttles are now range 5. Actually, still range 6 because he turns up. Kind of circling, playing kind of protector of the ship. And I have a mid-turn speed change to a faster speed. The whole idea of that was to be able to get more maneuverability, more movement in. Now, I turn in, and I'm at range 9 at the moment. I'm still coming around. Now, he's thinking about what he wants to do. He's currently facing direction E, right? Yeah, he's still facing direction E. On to the next impulse. I'm moving speed 21. I'm still range 9. This shuttles move. And we continue on. And I move onward. Come on. I go up. I'm looking at, and then he does an impulse tack. So now he's facing direction F. So he's facing directly towards me. There's an activity announced. I am what? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm 4 hexes off his center line at range 9. So, activity. I say I have nothing. And then I see now it's a speed change here. Which means he's doing mid-turn speed change to speed 8. My guess is that most probably this was unplanned. By speed 24, he gets to move. This is where things go wrong. He does a mid-turn speed change to speed 8. Now, if you notice, he's in that also grandiose range of range 8. And unfortunately, since I was running it so close, range 9, and I didn't move this impulse, I have no way to escape. Now, the one thing that does occur is he waits, and he waits, and he waits. And I didn't find out until later, the reason why he was waiting for this was that he was wondering if I was going to do a het. And to be honest, until he did this, which is a call for fire, I didn't realize I was in danger. I did not actually note that, hey, I'm at range 8. Because he expected me to het to get my my front panels facing him. Now, to be honest, I don't think it would have saved all that much. Because of, as I said, I have 22 points of degradation. Now, yeah. And then, of course, I have, look, I'm guessing, because I can't see the whole thing at the moment, I'm guessing I had 5 more points of power. Which means that I can do 33 points of damage. I can take 33 points of damage to my front panels. Now, the problem is my rear panels at this moment in time can't take 33 points. So, this is why he thought I was going to do a hit, which, in theory, I forget if I used my hit or not. Yes, I did. I did. I don't think I did. I ever used the hit. This would have been the time to use it. Yeah, I realized, he's firing at me. Got two fully overloaded photons and 2 standards. This overloads one, this is one hit of the overloads and 1 hit of the standards. So he's running 50% when it comes to his, so that's 24 from photons. And then his phasers do an additional 14. So a total of 38 points of damage. And now, where I die. So I go here. I've got already 18 points filled. So 40 minus 18 is 22. So I could have saved myself 6, let me see, 35, yeah, sorry. 20, got 22, got 7, got 29. So if I, 29, 60 minus 29 is 21, right? 31. Versus, so I could take 31 internals. I mean, 31 points of damage. So that means I would have gotten 7 internals. What do I get instead? I've got 18 here. 40 minus 18 is 22. So instead of getting only 7, I get 16. So I get 9 more internals on a ship that can't take that many internals, especially given that I did something stupid. I did something moronic when it comes to playing Andromedan. I did not remember to repair, and this is going to sound weird, I did not repair my center hull. That might sound weird to most people. To people playing Andromedans, that doesn't sound that stupid. And here's the reason why. Your center hull is your padding for your batteries. So, now, that's one thing. I still have 2 cargo, but my center hull is my protection for my batteries. So if I could have been more cautious, I probably could have had 4 more internals that could possibly hit a battery. And I might, and my batteries might have survived. Now, that wasn't my big issue at this point, as you will find out. So, first thing he does, okay, he kills, then he kills a TR, then he kills another, kills a phaser, then kills a TR, then kills another phaser. And also, he killed all three batteries. So, at this point, in my mind, game's over. He won. At this point. But, me being me, I'm going to see how much damage I can still inflict on him. So I'm going to see if I can get it so that I can, I'm going to turn in now. And at this point, what I'm going to do is, as you can see, if you're looking at the video, you can see that I'm counting. Because what I want to do is I'm checking to see how much do I move. So I need to see it where I need to displace. Because what I want to do is I want to displace and I want to beat him as much as possible and see if I can do enough damage. Because it's in theory, if I can get it so that I can Mizzia him, I can possibly destroy enough of his weapons that I can't. Well, in theory, I can't pull it out because there's one thing that I didn't realize at the time, but I did realize a little later on, which is at the end of this turn. Because I mean, I'll tell you that I'll finish up when this is over. Okay, so I activate my Dizzy Dev. I want to get on the other side of the Fed. So then I activate my Dizzy Div. Okay, I just want to double check. So, and now I'm going to put down the counter for what I want it to be. So because I want to make sure that I don't fly past him before I I don't want to fly past him before I can actually fire. Because if I fly past him and I can't fire, what's the point? So I three actually Dizzy Dev. Da, 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 and I roll. And I roll a 6. I failed. That means there's only one way of doing this. Yeah, and then I forgot about that. Then I roll another dice. I got a 1/6 chance of doing a random displacement. Please, give me that additional 6. Give me that additional 6. Nope. I roll a 1. So I'm stuck. Boom. I can't fire a weapon except for a possibly at in defense. You know, if there's a seeking weapon, I can still fire in passive mode while my fire control is disrupted. That is the rules. Yeah, he said, I say random and I roll and I'm stuck. So I keep coming towards him. Fortunately, he's going slow. He's going speed 8. And this is towards the end of the turn. So he has, I forget if he has 1 or 2 moves left. At the very least, he cannot turn. Because he's going speed 8. At speed 8, he has a turn mode of 2. And this is where he is thinking about firing his shuttles. Actually, for those of you, Ed the Fed came in to visit the room. He just re-signed up, and it was actually, I haven't seen Ed for a while. Ed used to be around you know, early on in SFB Online history, he was around a lot. And, you know, I was glad to see him come back, you know, so. So we're going, we're approaching, da-da-da-da-da. And I forget what. We're going to see what we do, what I do, because I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I get on shield number one. Unfortunately. Oh, yeah. This is where I, what I was trying to do was kill the shuttles. I dropped my T-bomb because that's one thing. See, that was the one thing that I also was thinking about when it comes to his speed six, is that if he's moving slowly, I can get it so that he will not turn, or he will turn a certain way using that nice little T-bomb. Yeah, it activates when I'm on the second hex away. I explained to him, you know, anything inside the radius, and it considered movement will trigger the bomb, the T-bomb, and boom. The whole idea was that his shuttles would move after activation, and then they would die. That was, yes. Yeah, I think at this point, basically, the way this scared him. So I forget if he fires at my front panels or not. But I know that I don't think he does more internals. From his shuttles. Okay. He announces and does a call for fire, which means that the only thing he can fire at this moment is the shuttles. And he does. So he does a wonderful 16 points of damage to my shield number ones. I mean, my front panels. I'm Andromedan. I don't have shields. Yeah, he rolled the dice before I could even say go ahead. Okay, we go. Here's the issue at this point, is that I don't get to his, okay, this impulse 31. I don't get to range 2 until impulse 32. And impulse 32, the shuttles move. But I'm pretty sure the T-bomb doesn't activate until like the segment later. So basically I move and then it doesn't automatically blow up the shuttles. At that point it's activated. But he turned up towards me because he wants to get his lovely phasers into arc and blast my front panels to get some more internals. At least that's what he's hoping. So I call for fire because I want to see how much damage I can do, because unfortunately I wasn't going fast enough to allow for two sets of internals. I still try to do it because I can. Because here's the problem is that, okay, even though I hit him, and he hits me for what? Another 19? And I get 4 internals. So he takes out a lab, a phaser, 2, and a left warp. I fire my 1 TR each, 20 points of damage, and 1 P3. And 4 points, so a total of 24 points of damage. So that's 24 points of internals applied to that ship. So I knock out his phaser 3s again. Knock out, let me see, I knock out his batteries. I knock out one of his photons. I knock out two of the phasers, phaser 1s. Actually, I think one of those had to be should have been the phaser 360 phaser 1s. Doesn't matter. And he has no, yeah, you know, and the trade says no EA. It's like no end of term. And this is when I have to decide, do I try to continue on? Right now, I've got both my front and rear panels are full. I can't absorb anything into my batteries. I can dissipate 6 in the front, 4 in the back. Next turn, he's going to be blasting down my front panels with his four phaser ones that he has an arc, which is going to be a tremendous amount of damage. And as I point out here, okay, I'll stop. Which is, as I point out here, I've got only 17 points of power total on my ship. To have a running ship at this moment in time, I need 10 points of power, well, not even 10. I think I have to double check. I might have been considered crippled. At the minimum, okay, just the minimum. Let's say that I decide to drop fire control. Don't have to pay for life support because I'm crippled. Let's say I'm crippled. I still have to put 8 points of power. 8 points of power. That's 17. Into keeping the panels up. Because I cannot, unless I have less than 8 points of power, I cannot let my shields drop. I cannot inflict, I cannot have panels drop below levels to maintain the energy. So basically, I cannot cause, by my own actions, internals to my ship. Unless it's a last resort, i.e., I don't have enough power to maintain the panels. In which case, Lord have mercy on my soul at that point, because then I get those internals. And what's possible in those internals? PA panels. Yay, cascade effect. Yay. And I die. But in any case, I've 17 points of damage, 17 points of power. 8 is going to be for that. That means I have 9 points of power to move. Even though I am a 2/3 points ship, maximum speed is a little less than 15, because I know 15 would be 10. So 15 is 10, 9 is going to be 13. Yeah. So my fastest I can move is actually speed 13, which is not too bad, but he has a heck of a lot more power. He has a heck of a lot more weapons. And then, of course, we have the whole issue of impulse 1 exchange of fire. Can I have it so that I do some more internals to him? Yes, I can. If I max it out. I got 10 more internals. If he maxes his out at range 1, if I call correctly, that's 28 points of damage. I cannot take 28. I might blow up. I won't blow up because he'll hit my PA panels. No, actually, I would blow up. If he hits my PA panels, I will blow up because cascade effect. Boom, 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 boom. If that's the only thing left, it's going to blow up. Now, less than that, I'm going to have a crippled ship. I'm going to be dead. I have no way of winning this at this moment in time. That's when I realized I got to concede. So I concede the game at this point. And that's because of two major mistakes. Well, there's other mistakes earlier on in the game, which I made. But the biggest ones at the very last turn, number one, I didn't keep an eye on the range from my opponent. Here's the thing, even if I would have not moved, I wasn't paying attention and go, you know, I wasn't looking at the impulse chart to say, okay, you know, if he does a mid-turn speed change to speed 8 or 9 or 7 or 6, whatever, he can actually get into range 8. I never thought that. I never even approached my memories, which was a mistake on my part. That's number one. So he got the range 8. But more importantly, not that he got the range 8, I didn't realize he got the range 8. That's a big mistake. That's a huge, huge, huge mistake. And what's the gotcha on that one? The client itself, if I would have thought about it beforehand, I could have set myself up for an alarm, because the client has an alarm feature where you can say, if the range gets within range, in this case, 8, fire off and tell me, hey, he's range 8. Of course, if I would have thought enough through the thing about range 8, I would have been keeping an eye on the range tractor right here. But so, you know, if I got the range 8, I would have went, oh, I am a range 8. Crap, you got the range 8. I could have headed at that point. That alone was my biggest, that's the biggest mistake. The other big mistake I had was even thinking for a moment that I could come in on him. I should have never even tried. I shouldn't have gotten close, which means I could have maintained a range. I should have just called it a done turn. A turn he's going to sit still. I'm going to run around the board. I might take a few, you know, his shuttles might take a few pot shots at me, but at the very least, I will not be dead. I'll be able to clear up my front panels, and possibly, if I would have even thought on that turn, I could have repaired up some center hull, and I could have gotten at the very least get the freaking energy out of my rear panels, even if it's just a little bit more, you know, because definitely by the end of the turn, the front panels, they were gonna be completely and utterly wiped. Rear panels, not so much. But maybe I could have left the rear panels as such, as long as I got my front panels wiped, and then I could have done something else. Possibly I could even use that energy that was in the rear panels by that point, you know, going on to the next turn, you know, turn 7. I could toggle my panels in such a way that I could possibly gotten the energy from the rear panels in what was left into the front panels and into the batteries, you know, directly into the batteries. And possibly even, depending upon if I had enough time, possibly even get it so that the power in my front panels are gone too. Could I have done it? Maybe. Toggling panels under fire is always a difficult thing. because as you see, you know, when I did it on the last turn, that I had the big issue of, you know, I did it, I was in range, and he fired, and he got internals. So, and I was lucky he didn't get a TR at that point. But, you know, again, another a mistake during the whole game, as I mentioned, was not repairing my center hull. I could have four center hull fixed. And if I would have done the other thing, which is headed, I could have, my TR beams probably could have survived. I could have, my TR beams might have gotten knocked out. Let's say they did. Even if they got knocked out, they would have probably saved my batteries with the repairing of the four center hull, and with heading, I could definitely save the game. Because I could can you imagine it? Same situation, because he wouldn't have changed what he did. He couldn't have changed what he did. But I would have had two TR beams. Let's say one TR beam. One TR beam, I would have had less internals. I would have had more. I would have been facing him earlier on, so I could have gotten closer. I could probably even have ended the turn with him facing him, with him looking at my rear panels, in which case I would have had a lot more power, you know, not more damage I could have taken. So, well, it is what it is. That is my loss in the second round and the screw-ups that I did. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.